Holy Ghost what I need to preach today to us as a church. Amen. How many would welcome this great man of God, probably one of my closest friends in the world, to come and greet this congregation in Jesus' name?
Praise the Lord, everybody. So glad to be with you today. And we were having dinner a couple weeks ago, and I'm always asking Brother Smith, how can we help you? What do you need? And he always says, we're good, we're fine, we don't need anything. And I know the house is crashing in while he's saying that. He just won't be honest about it, you know. In a good way. He's not lying to me. Things are good if we say they are. There's something in the Holy Ghost that calls things that are not as though they were. So there's a certain amount of faith in that statement. And I'm happy to associate with people who have great faith. And Brother and Sister Smith have great faith. I'm so happy to be here on Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Awesome. I might sneak that picture into my car on the way home. So glad to be with you all. Honestly, I just came to play the drums. I'm working on getting you some more support, by the way. God bless you all in Jesus' name.
Well, if you have your Bibles, I'm thankful to be linked up. If you don't know, he is also one of our board members. He does wear many hats, and one of those is also one of the board members for our church. Amen. Amen. If you have your offering, tithes offering, put it in your hand. I almost forgot to dismiss the kids, and thank you to those of you that are reminding me that we do have offering. Amen. If you have it, put it in your hands. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we ask you to take this offering and use it for your glory. We ask you not to just so that we can say we've got a beautiful church, and that's all important, God, but so that we can see lives and souls changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. That's where we're going to start today. Yes, if you could stand for the reading of the Word of God. We don't usually do that on Wednesday night just because I use so much Scripture. But on Sunday, we do want to show reverence to the Word of God. In the Word of God, you're going to find life. Amen? You're going to find the meaning to life. It has the ability to put a life back together when it's broken. How many is thankful that God found you in a broken state and put you back together again? Amen, amen. Sometimes we had to be unscrambled and broken apart before God could really do anything with us. Amen? And that's most of us in this life. Hebrews chapter number 12, starting at verse number 15, reads like this. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, for one morsel of meat sold his what? He sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want. You can write it down. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you would bear with me just for a little while, I won't hold you real long, and I ask you to pray. I am going to be preaching at Walkerton tonight, and it's been a long time since I've preached there, and I feel in the Holy Ghost very distinct two different messages, and this message today I'm going to preach is simply titled, The Other Side of Tomorrow. The Other Side of Tomorrow. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you, God, for everything you've done in our life. We thank you for the moving of your Spirit in this service. We ask that your anointing would speak through me today. God, help me to do a good job to speak into somebody's life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There is a particular passage that many of you would recognize, and bear with me in the midst of all of the honor today. I had something queued up to use, and unfortunately, it's not queued up now, but it's about to be queued up. This is a very familiar thing. Most of you will recognize it. I was playing it in my office before service, and my wife walked in, and she began to sing a very familiar. Let's see if you recognize it.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely, I just stick out my chin and grin and say, oh, the sun will come out tomorrow, so you gotta hang on till tomorrow, come what may.
Back any memories? Most of you recognize that very familiar tune as Tomorrow. That was one that took many of you in your childhood by storm, and many of you remember that. I did not realize it when my wife walked in the office and I was looking up some things that I could use in today's message. I can't say I've ever used a song like that in my message, but for purposes today, tomorrow is something that we look at as always being there. We look at tomorrow as something that one by one they continue to come. And we get up in life at the very early age and we always assume tomorrow will be another day. Tomorrow will be another time. Tomorrow, tomorrow. You see, our life is really put together in three parts. There is yesterday, today, and what we view as what? Tomorrow. You see, today is something that we have the moment in life that we have. We have the ability to stand here and make changes. We have the ability to stand here and determine what we look at. It doesn't matter how much money you save in life, and I believe in preparing for retirement. I believe in preparing to live a long life and not to be a drag upon your children and families. But at the same time, we must always recognize our hope is not always in tomorrow. I watch so many people that get up and live frivolously for the moment. They look at life and they say, well, I'll deal with it tomorrow. I'll deal with the things that's going to happen tomorrow. We have gentlemen that I work with, and in the process of many years here, I've constantly tried to put into their head, you need to start putting into that 401k. You need to start preparing. You're not going to live forever. You need to put some money away. You're just going out to eat every weekend and going to ball games and doing the stuff you do. That's wonderful. Don't discount those things of spending time with your family. But take a moment to stop and make sure that someday those babies are going to be grown. Those children are going to be out of the nest. And it's just going to be you and mama again. And are you prepared for those years? Have you put off till tomorrow what you could do, what? Today. You see, the Bible has a particular passage of Scripture that the first Sunday that I stepped into the pulpit in Winnemac, Indiana at 107 North Market Street, I'll never forget that day as we had chairs just kind of set up in that sanctuary, and my wife and I was privileged to visit a Spanish church in Lafayette, Indiana, and those chairs that we had on our first Sunday are now all throughout their sanctuary, and we got to sit in those same chairs about a month ago as God blessed us with these, and we were able to donate them to another startup church. How many's thankful for that? But as I sat in that platform that day, what wasn't really a platform, it was just kind of an open room. As I sat there with the keyboard off to one side and some chairs and a little podium that still sits around the corner there, as I began to preach that day of New Beginnings Family Fellowship, of how today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come, but today is the day of salvation, that it's a new beginning, and it all starts with today. You can't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Today matters. There's something about in our lives. We look at our lives and planning. We have this picture that tomorrow will always, our eyes will wake up. Breath will be in our body. But there is something about recognizing, as I was just not too long ago in the office of an individual, and I could tell they were a bit uncomfortable. It was a prominent business, and we'd become friends, and I could tell they were a bit uncomfortable, and I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what. And I sensed that there was an issue going on, and only to come back the next day and find out that they were stricken with a major, major illness, and life had completely turned instantly on a dime. You hear of the stories of people going in with a sore throat and never coming home from the hospital. I preached a message some time ago, the danger of the misdiagnosis, and how the number of people that walk into a hospital and never walk out will astound you simply by the misdiagnosis. I didn't come to be a preacher of doom and gloom, but I came to be a preacher today to remind us that there is a moment that we look at as a crutch in life. We look at something as assuming it will always be there. But really, the Bible says we're not guaranteed for tomorrow. If you want to determine your tomorrow, you better take care of it today. Because today is the only day that can really affect your tomorrow. When we look at life, we better get a good picture of what life really is. It's today, and that's really all we have. I've got the breath in my body right now, at this moment. It just takes a blink of an eye and your children are raised. You blink again and they've got children. You blink again and you're pushing a walker to get into church, sister. Just a few blinks and it seems like life escapes you. And how does it escape us? One tomorrow at a time. Just another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And pretty soon, after a while, we start to depend upon those tomorrows. You see, the greatest enemy to today is tomorrow. Think about it. The greatest enemy to today is thinking we have something that really doesn't exist. And the greatest enemy to tomorrow is today. It's such a simple little thought that I've come to you here today. It's just to remind us that your greatest enemy is always opposing each other. And really, you tread water and really get nowhere. Because what you think you could have done today, tomorrow you can't change. And yesterday is gone, because what was tomorrow, when today turns into tomorrow, it becomes yesterday, and you can't go back and change it. And what you could have done today, now, when you look at tomorrow, you don't have it, so you can't change it there. And really all we have is this moment in time. And we sit here on a Sunday afternoon, and we look across the crowd, and we look out a window at a lost world, and we recognize tomorrow may never come. We may never see a tomorrow. The sun may never come up again. But my question for us today is, what about the other side of tomorrow? What's your eternal destination? What really is going to matter? Really is not tomorrow, but what's on the other side of tomorrow. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow, but there's one place we are guaranteed. Is that if we get today right, we can determine what's on the other side of tomorrow. Because if you walk with God and you live for God and you've got the blood of Jesus applied to your life and you've got that spirit, and the Bible says that same spirit that quickened his mortal body is going to quicken ours to be changed to be like him. You see, the other side of tomorrow really does matter. Today's society, we are a today generation. We are a generation today that wants to control our today. We want to enjoy our day. We want to have what we think we should have. We are very self-consuming generation. We get what we want. We go where we want. And if you don't think so, raise a teenager. I never dreamed I'd pay $5 for a bottle of dressing. But you raise a teenager, and you love them enough, and you see them applying themselves and working hard and living for God. You know what? I'll pay $5 for a bottle of dressing. And most of you will too. Just wait. But the thought that this generation is so consumed, we drive by McDonald's if we want a hamburger. Where do we go? We pull in there and we get a hamburger. If we want a candy bar, we're at the gas station first thing in the morning. You know what? Pastor usually gets two of you are right at the same time. Just depends on what time of day I'm at the gas station. Either a Snickers or a donut, because we're a self-consuming. Anybody, any other donut lovers in the house? But we are a self-consuming generation. We like what we want. We get what we want. We do what we want. We think what we want. Nobody's going to tell us where to go or what to do, because that's this generation, if I've ever seen this generation. That wasn't Brother Albert's generation when they grew up. There was a different generation back then. But this generation is a very self-consuming, in-the-moment generation. And they look at tomorrow as, I'll deal with tomorrow when tomorrow comes. But I've got news for this generation. You better deal with tomorrow today, because tomorrow may not even exist, and tomorrow may be much different than what you think tomorrow may be. It concerns me when I look at this generation and realize the stuff that's going on in today's society, because I look at a generation that's self-imploding. It's destructing its own self. You can't have politicians out there, and I'll be a little political today. You can't have politicians out there saying, as long as we're in power, we won't bring chaos. But as long as we're out of power, we'll just cause all the chaos we want. You know what that does? That shakes the very fiber of our society. And we better recognize we're going to have to deal, if tomorrow comes, with the recompense of the words that we say and the thoughts that we think and the things that we do. And you know what? When I get up and I decide if I want a pack of Marlboro Lights every day, I'm going to have them. But then when lung cancer sets in, you know what? I'm dealing with things that I could have changed. And you know what? When this generation decides that they can change every moral fabric of society today, and there's not recompenses of that, they're badly mistaken. Because the reality is, whether tomorrow comes or not, they're going to have to deal with their children's other side of tomorrow. It's very easy for us to go to church every Sunday. And you know, I'm in a soul-winning campaign. I've been preaching evangelistic here the last couple Sundays and on a consistent basis. And there's a reason for that. Because I feel we have to have a passion for reaching into lives to make a difference. And every single Sunday you walk into church, it's another chance for me to speak into your tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. Because there's another chance that I can see your life turned around, see your children saved, see your children's children saved, and change your family tree. You know what? There was a day that my family wasn't all preachers. There was a day that my family was bootleggers, and they were hopping on trains, and they were hobos, and just trying to get by in life. But today, I stand here as a preacher of the gospel, and I shouldn't. You know what difference it made? It was the difference of somebody decided, today I've got to do something if I'm going to change my tomorrow. And you know what? My grandfather is dead and gone on both sides. And there is nothing that they can come back to change. But you know what they did? Their tomorrow is gone. And this is the day after tomorrow for them. And you know what? They're standing and waiting for that eternal destination. But you know what? It wasn't just the other side of tomorrow. It changed for them. But it also changed it for me. Sometimes life's big circle of going round. I'll be a better father tomorrow. I'll find a place to pray. Esau, we'll deal with the birthright thing, but right now, I want what I want now. The Bible says that after Esau made the decision that he made, once he had finally made the choice, he went back to his father and said, "Can I change my decision? Can I redo? Can I have a remake?" The fact was, the final decision was made. The Bible says he sought repentance with tears, bitterly, but there was none to be found. I'll take time. Tomorrow. But today I've got to make money. I want to drive a nicer car. Got to have a bigger house. Got to have the things that I need. Because its status is important in today's society. I challenge you to question that thinking. Because there is nothing more important than what we're doing for God. And seeing our family saved. Our children saved. Our wives saved. Our husbands saved. There is nothing more important than what you're doing today, Brother Michael. It's sitting in church with those two boys. And saying, you know what? I may not always be perfect daddy. But today I'm getting it right. And today I'm investing in the next generation because there's going to come a day after tomorrow that I won't be here to change it. But today I can. See, the biggest lie the devil ever told was the fact that you always have tomorrow. You see, the sun comes up. It settles on the distant horizon. Days come and they go. But really, tomorrow never really arrives in most lives. You say, what do you mean? Tomorrow comes. And when you get to tomorrow, it becomes what? It becomes today. So a perpetual life. I got somebody with me today. Thanks for helping me preach today, Bubba. What really we depend on changing can never be changed because we never live in tomorrow. I know this is a sobering thought, but think about this. Lot never considered what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He just went on with life, assuming this was the way of life. assuming someday things would change, assuming he would just get a little further out. But there came a day that his children said, you know what, we don't understand what all the fuss is about. We don't understand what all the big deal is. And somehow he had gotten so close to Sodom, his tomorrow had pushed off and pushed off until finally the point he was heading out of Sodom and Gomorrah with the fire and brimstone behind him. And even his wife couldn't stop from turning to look back. Why? They were so engrafted, so entangled into the things of this world. And just today's moment, there is something about living a life that way that eventually it encompasses you. It ensues everything about you. It consumes you. And you know what Samson said? I'll deal with this tomorrow. I'll just shake myself as other times. But there's going to come a day when all of a sudden your victory is gone. Your vision is gone. The way to do right and wrong is gone from your mind. And all of a sudden, this world and what it seems right, is it not? What looks right is now wrong. What should be wrong is now right. And the world is turned upside down. But yet our world keeps going round and round. And as a society, we say, we'll fix Social Security. Uh-oh. We'll fix Social Security. We'll do this. We'll do that. But all the time, the wheel of time keeps going. And we say, we'll take care of it tomorrow. We'll do that tomorrow. But eventually, we recognize that when I get to tomorrow, it becomes today. And really, tomorrow is a figment of my imagination. Because I really never intended to change anything. I never really intended to get it right. But it was just something in my mind. They said, as long as I know tomorrow's there, I'll deal with it then. But the reality is, in most lives in today, tomorrow doesn't even exist. It's just an excuse for dealing tomorrow with what we could have dealt with today. Brother Keith Mendenhall made one of the best statements I probably ever heard when it comes to growing up as a young man. He stepped in our pulpit one revival night, and he said, I've got something to tell all of you young people that think when you get later in life, you'll change some things, and you'll do some things different, and you'll go to church, and you'll get all that right. He said, the fact is, when you study statistics, 99% of you, when you get to that stage, you'll be living exactly as you are today, because you're thinking you will change then, really never changes in life, because every single time you decide to do something different, you put it off another day, and you put it off another day, and you put it off another day. But the fact is, there comes a day when there is no more tomorrows, and tomorrow doesn't exist, and you're dealing with the day after tomorrow. And we're going to stand before God, and we're going to look into the eyes of a just God and a pure God and a God that gave us all the cards and the real reason to get it right in life. And he took away every excuse out of the book, and we're going to stand before him, and we're going to give account of every day of our life, of everything that we did, and we're going to stand before God, and he's going to want to know, do I have the blood of Jesus applied to my life? Do I recognize the blood? Have you been washed? Have you been purified? Do I have a familiar spirit? Does my spirit and your spirit, do they mesh together? Have you kept your life pure? Have you done what's right for him to do with the no good? And doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what? I think the church is going to be held even to a higher account than the rest of this world, because we hold this truth. And yet we come to church every Sunday, and we put off to tomorrow what we should have done today. My question for us today, in all seriousness, and you'll probably be humming that tune the rest of the day, I hope it rings in your ears the rest of your life as a pastor. And I hope you hear the message that I'm preaching today in your ear, saying, I better get it right. I better make the right decision. I better change some things in my life. If I haven't prayed in a while, I need to spend some time in prayer, because today may be the last time to tell him I love you. one of those carnal country singers some years ago by the name of Randy Travis wrote a song. Some of you probably would sing this too, and I won't give you the opportunity. If tomorrow never comes, will my family know that I really love them? Did I try in every way? Think about it. Question is, family's important at the top of the peg, but even more so is the account you're going to give with God for your own self. One of the most foolish statements I ever heard some years ago while we were pastoring with my father, standing in the dollar store parking lot with a gentleman that used to sing in the church, and used to help in every area of the church. I watched him pray people through to the Holy Ghost. And he looked me in the eye and he said, "I've decided my kids don't want to go to heaven. If they're all going to choose to go to hell, guess I'll just go with them." Stood there thinking, what a foolish statement to ever make. That because of one bad decision, it's going to affect another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. This preacher came to tell you one more time here today, there's consequences to not dealing with today. There's serious consequences to not getting it right today. We are in a generation that has more things working in our favor, but yet so many more things drawing our attention away at the same time. Many of you hold in your pockets, and I'm coming to a close, in your hands, a phone. You can research anything in a matter of moments. You don't have to dig out an atlas out from under the seat. Try to connect the dots to get from one city to the next. Now you just put in the address and sit it on your dash. It gives you the road map. Tells you where to turn. Turn left. 900 feet. Take a right. Until you end up sitting next to a cornfield. No houses, no businesses. And it says you have arrived at your destination. Anybody ever been there? Pastor came to tell you here today, if you trust Google with your salvation, you're going to be badly mistaken. If you trust the things of this world to guide you to the Almighty, you're going to be vastly mistaken. Fact is, there's some things only the Word of God can do in your life. If you want to fix your tomorrow, here's the answer. I'll give you a little insight. It'll tell you to deal with it today. If you want to determine what's going to be the day after tomorrow, I'll give you a little insight. The Bible says, even the sea gave up its dead, great and the small. The Bible says they were judged by the things that were written. Where? In the book. And every day we go through life, We even as apostolic sometimes, we do the ostrich thing. We stick our head in the sand and we pretend it doesn't exist. But the pastor came to tell you here today, it does. Tomorrow may never come, but you will deal with the day after tomorrow, whether we want to or not. Young men, young ladies, hear me now. It's not popular preaching, but there is a heaven and there is a hell. But the fact is, hell wasn't created for you. It was created for the devil. And God gave us distinct roadmap that says, you know what? I'm going to pin down how much I love you. I'm going to demonstrate it through man's hands and my life. And I'm going to lay down my life so that you can determine exactly what your day after tomorrow is. And if you will apply the blood of Jesus to your life, you will be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children's children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You know what he was saying? I'm the holder of your tomorrow. If you will trust me, I can guarantee you'll get it right. I can guarantee you won't stand before me and be disappointed, but you will say, well done thou, good and faithful servant, enter therein. I've been waiting on you. It won't be one of those moments where you stand before dad and you didn't get it right and you do or you didn't get it right, but you'll stand before the Almighty God and you'll stand there in your flesh, knowing in my flesh I'm not right, but in my spirit there is something that says I pushed that old man down, I buried him in a grave, and I still have my issues, I still have my frustrations, but I stand here, God, buried in your mercy and your grace, and I'm standing here pure, not because of me, God, but because of you. And I've been waiting to get here. That's when the day after tomorrow will only begin. And there will never be another tomorrow, because the Bible says you have entered in to your eternal destination. The frustrations that you face now will be over. Let's all stand. Think they would have really warned me what they was doing, I'd have come with a aisle jumping, running message today. But if you're going to have pastor appreciation today, I believe pastor one more time ought to reach for your soul, because I may not have tomorrow. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I didn't come here to beat nobody up today. I just came with a little subtle reminder of God's grace and his mercy and his love to tell you one more time, Jesus loves you more than anything else in this world. And he sent a preacher here one more time in your life to breathe a little hope, speak a little truth, and tell you, if you want to change your family tree, you came to the right place. I've given you the recipe. The question is, what are you going to do with it? I wonder, is there anybody that would like to spend a few moments in prayer? Whether you want to pray in your seat, whether you want to come around these altars, is there anybody that would step out of their pew here today and say, God, I want to spend just a few moments with you. God, I just want to kneel before you. Nobody's going to bother you. Nobody's going to do anything to you. But if you want to take just a few moments and kneel before God, just you and God, and say, God, here I am one more time. I just want to get it right. Just one more time, God, just want you to know I haven't forgot who you are, and I hope you haven't forgot who I am. I still love you, God. I may not get it all right, but I still care. I still deep down in my spirit, God, there's something that's longing to be more like you than I've ever been before. There's something inside of me, God, that's longing for a God of my life. I've been controlling my own life too long, but here today, God, I just need you to be God one more time. I just need you to patch up some rough areas in my life, God. I kind of bumbled the knee a little bit, God, but here I am. Can you just bandage that up for me one more time and get me back on the trail? God, I know you get tired of me, God, of hearing these things, but as long as I keep coming into your presence, I recognize there's still hope. There's still, I'm not going to put it off till tomorrow if I can fix it today. And I'm going to keep coming back every day that I have. I'm going to be like Paul. I'm going to die every day. I'm going to crawl back into the arms of a loving God every single day. I'm going to search out your will. I'm going to search out your desires. And I'm going to try my best, God, to make mine match yours. In the name of Jesus.